Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios. It's the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Good Monday morning, Pensacola. Sports fans, everybody tuning in. It's the Glass Half Full here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. I'm Jordan Glass. If you want to be a part of today's show, hey, it's easy to do. Just text or call 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Looking at more mock drafts for the NFL as we are getting closer to that time of year, closer time for schools having their workouts for scouts, and of course the combine going to be around the corner. It'll be here before you know it, and then it'll be May, and we will have the draft going. And you definitely don't want to miss out on any of the coverage that we'll have for you right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll also have coverage of some upcoming, little closer sporting events as well, including the Sun Belt Conference Tournament that'll be happening here in our own backyard at the Pensacola Bay Center. That actually gets started next Tuesday on the 4th. So a week from tomorrow, that will get started. And we'll, of course, be down there. Jeremy will be out there with me as well. You know, Jeremy, he does color commentary with me during high school football season. He'll be out there. I'm sure we'll have Austin out there. Bobby will be out there hanging out as well. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage, all of us hanging out there, keeping you up to date on everything happening with Sun Belt Conference Tournament. And, of course, we'll be getting some interviews and some things like that going on. And it's more fun to be announced that'll be a part of Sun Belt Conference Tournament. So we'll be ready for it and keeping you up to date on everything. That way, if you miss a game, maybe a game happens that you really wanted to go see, but you got to be at work, we'll have you covered on what happens. You can follow along. I know a lot of people like to follow along and watch all the games of the tournament. And then, of course, the championship game is always a great atmosphere and a great environment there at the Bay Center. Some things we've got for you coming up this week on ESPN Pensacola. How about tonight? We got North Carolina and Florida State. Some basketball happening there. We've also got Baylor and Cincinnati tomorrow night. That would be Westwood One's coverage of the basketball game tomorrow night with Baylor and Cincinnati. So a couple of great games starting off the week for us here on ESPN Pensacola, and you can definitely tune in to all of them, not only on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, but you can also tune in ESPNPensacola.com and download the ESPN Pensacola app as well. Starting off today's show, we're going to look at a mock draft because there are some interesting things we're starting to see in mock drafts, right? We're starting to see teams make trades and move up and move around. And like I said, especially the quarterback side of the free agent market, it's really going to what we see happen with the quarterbacks in free agency is really going to impact what we see in the NFL draft. I really do think so. And that's really where when we start to look at this NFL mock draft that I have in front of me here, and this is, by the way, from Tyler Sullivan. This is kind of the more up-to-date. I know there's been other ones posted like throughout the weekend and everything. I like to go to the most up-to-date one, and this one was literally posted about 15 minutes ago. So this is Tyler Sullivan posted this mock draft. Going to go through here and just kind of see what he sees is possibly happening, and I'm going to piggyback off of it on whether I think it's, you know, it's something that is kind of good or not. And, of course, once we get a little closer to the draft, I'm going to do a mock draft, and we'll go over that as well. But for right now, we're going to be taking a look at this one. Starting it off here with a trade. The New York Jets will trade with the Tennessee Titans for the number one overall pick, in which the New York Jets will jump up, and they will take Cam Ward at number one. Couple of things that stand out to me if this does in fact happen and this is what we see to start off the 2025 NFL draft, that means that the Tennessee Titans went with a free agent quarterback, right? That means they went with a Russell Wilson, they went with a Sam Darnold, they went with somebody along those lines, and that's why they felt like they could trade all the way back to where the Jets at. They're at seven. So that's why they felt like they could trade all the way back to seven. But also at the same time, I feel like with the Titans, I think the Titans are in a unique situation here where they could be at one, trade back to seven, and then maybe trade that seven spot to four or five and kind of jump right back up into that top five if they could put together a good enough deal. So I really do think that, you know, it's plausible to see a team trade with Tennessee, especially if Tennessee goes free agent in the, with the quarterback position. If Tennessee goes and gets their free agent quarterback, right, and they're not drafting somebody, they want to use the draft pick on defense, I think they're going to have a good opportunity, or even another position like a receiver or you know, offensive line or whatever. I think falling back to a 6 or a 7 is not detrimental to them. They'll still be able to pick a quality player at whatever position they would want to pick from, but just it's not going to be quarterback because they would take care of that in free agency, like I said, with a Russell Wilson, with a Sam Darnold, with something along those lines. So I really do think that we could possibly see a deal made with the Titans at number one. Whether that's the Jets, whether that's somebody else, you know, I mean, it all depends. I mean, you look at the Raiders at number six, would they bank on somebody still being available, right? I mean, Shador and Cam could be off the board by number six, right? So are the Raiders going to sit back there at six and wait? Or are they going to try to jump up into those top three spots to where they could potentially take a quarterback? Now, the only problem with that is really when you break it down and you look at those top three teams that are picking, the Titans and the Giants both are going to be looking at quarterback, right? They're going to be looking at quarterback among other positions. And then you got Cleveland, who could go quarterback, but I don't really think they're going to go quarterback at number one, in their number two spot in the first round. I could see them, if they wanted to go quarterback, you know, maybe they could go get somebody a little later on down the road. But again, I don't even see them trying to go after quarterback in the first round or even in the second round. So I think Cleveland kind of is that team that if the Raiders or Titans, excuse me, not Titans, but the Jets are going to trade up, Cleveland could also be another potential opportunity there if they don't make a deal with the Titans at number one. Maybe they feel more comfortable about going to that number two spot. Because, I mean, again, think about it. If you look at this draft and you say, okay, there are two big-name quarterbacks in Shador Sanders and Cam Ward, if you're the New York Jets, if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, and you're going, okay, maybe we don't necessarily have to give up as much as we would to go and trade at number one with the Jet or with the Titans, maybe we could kind of do a little bit smaller of a deal and trade with the Browns at two. I think you go with that route. If you can guarantee that you can get a deal done with the Browns and move up to two, because even if the Titans do go quarterback, they're only going to take one of those guys off the board. If you bump up to two, you're jumping ahead of the Giants, and that's giving you the opportunity to take that other top quarterback. So let's say that the Titans take Shador Sanders number one overall. That can leave you to take Cam Ward at number two. I definitely think we're going to see a trade either in the number one or number two spot. We may even see a trade in both of those spots. Like I said, I think with Cleveland, what they're looking for, I think they could possibly trade back to a 5, a 6, or 7, and they could be just fine. Tennessee, if they in fact do go quarterback in free agency, I think we could see them drop back to a 5, a 6, or a 7 there in the first round and still be able to get a quality player. Because I'm looking at it here going through. Let's say that the Jets and the Titans worked out a trade to where the Jets go to number one, the Titans fall back to number seven, but then the Titans work out a deal with Jacksonville to flip-flop spots, so the Jags move back to seven, the Titans move up to five. Then you have an opportunity there for the Titans to go get a guy like Abdul Carter from Penn State, who, as I've said before, if they're going to go defense, that should be their number one priority. And I think that might be the only reason why they hold on to that number one overall spot is to make Abdul Carter the number one overall pick. I know there'll be a lot of people surprised and shocked by that. I won't be one of them. Abdul Carter is easily the best defensive player in this draft to me. There's a lot of other good ones. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of good ones. But Abdul Carter is definitely going to be the guy that a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on. And no, I don't consider Travis Hunter solely defense. Because while the NFL may be limiting him in the combine, he's going to play both ways. He may not play every snap offensively, but if you think a team is not going to draft an athlete with the freak talent like a Travis Hunter and not put him on a kick return or a punt return, not he bring him in and have some special packages for him, even if it's just in the red zone, I got some beachfront property in Oklahoma I'd love to sell you if you think that a team's not going to use Travis Hunter offensively. A guy with that type of speed, you're going to put the ball in his hand any way you can, right? So, yeah, let him play DB. That's going to be his position. But, I mean, we've seen it before where defensive linemen come in and run routes in the red zone and catch touchdowns, or they become fullbacks in the red zone to block. we've seen defensive players play offensive snaps and have offensive packages before. So I don't see there being any difference here with Travis Hunter. Speaking of Travis Hunter, that is where this mock draft has him going at number 3, is to the New York Giants. And I think it's a great pickup for the Giants. But also at the same time, if I'm the Giants, if you're going with a Travis Hunter, again, that means you went free agency with quarterback. And it's like I've said time and time again, and I'm going to keep saying it until we get to the draft. What happens in the free agent market for quarterbacks is going to dictate what we see early on in this year's NFL draft. Because you have teams that can go one of two ways. They can go for a skill player or a defensive player, or they can go quarterback. And it is definitely going to change because, again, it opens up more trade opportunities if these teams, if the Giants go free agent for quarterback, if the Titans go free agent for quarterback, it opens up the opportunity for trades because then a team like Tennessee feels like that they can drop down to that 5 spot and still get an Abdul Carter, right? Can still get, you know, a talented player, maybe even a Will Campbell to help out on the offensive line, right? You got Jalen Walker, who's also an edge rusher. So if Abdul Carter is off the board, you go after Jalen Walker out of Georgia. Again, one of the better players in the NFL draft this upcoming year. So I feel like if they go free agency with quarterback, that's going to open the door and it's going to create a fire sale where there's going to be a lot of teams that are going, okay, you've got your quarterback. You don't need that number one overall pick. Right, if you're looking for edge rusher, you can drop back to 5 or 6 and you can get an Abdul Carter or you can get a Jalen Walker and still be fine. So work out a deal with us so we can bump up ahead of, especially if you're the Jets, we can bump up ahead of that other New York team because we both need quarterbacks and we don't want to pick based off of what they have already got. We want them to pick based off of what we already got, right? We want to have the selection and basically leave it to them to take whatever's left. Sometimes that backfires, and the whatever's left ends up being the better quarterback of the two. We saw that this past year with Jaden Daniels. Not that a lot of people were surprised that Jaden Daniels turned out to be the better quarterback between him and Caleb Williams, but still, it was one of those things to where Chicago was looking at Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, and Washington was looking at Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Chicago went Caleb, left Jaden to go to Washington. So, I mean, it kind of could be the similar situation here with whoever trades into those top spots and tries to get ahead of the Giants. They're both going to be looking Shedeur Sanders. They're both going to be looking Cam Ward. But whoever takes that first pick, they're going to get the opportunity to take who they want, and then that other team's going to have to just take whatever quarterback is still there. Moving through some of these other picks here on this mock draft, number 4, the Patriots taking Will Campbell, the offensive tackle out of LSU. Yeah, you've got to, if you are going to buy into Drake May as your quarterback moving forward, if he's going to be the guy, you've got to build up an offensive line around him to protect him. I think Mike Vrabel coming in as the head coach, he's really going to put an emphasis on defense. He's a defensive-minded coach. Of course he is. But I think he also understands he's got to protect his quarterback, and going offensive tackle here with their pick at number 4 is definitely a smart move for sure. Number 5, the Jags, actually, according to this, they would take Abdul Carter. And if Abdul Carter is available for them at 5, absolutely could see them going that route. They need help defensively in a bad way, right? They've got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, so they're sure up there. They're fine there. They've got Etienne at the running back position. They're fine there. Maybe add a receiver in free agency. And then you really need to use the draft and free agency. Honestly, you need to use both of them to focus defensively. Maybe use the free agent market to fill in some holes in the secondary and go out and draft a guy like Abdul Carter. Or even, again, like I was talking about, you can go out and get Jalen Walker from Georgia as well. Either one of those guys I think would be a solid pick at number 5 for the Jags. Number 6, this mock draft has Shedeur Sanders following all the way back to 6 to the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't know, because like I said, it all is going to depend on what happens in free agency, you know? I think when you look at what's going to happen with free agency, like I said, the Giants go free agency for a quarterback. If the Titans go free agency for a quarterback, then, yeah, that could possibly open up an opportunity for both Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders to fall back to about the 5, 6, 7 range. And, again, you know, could create an opportunity for the Jets to not even have to trade up, right? Because if Cam and Shador are both available, if the Raiders go Shador Sanders at six, the Jets, obviously, if they didn't trade up with the Titans to number one, if they stayed back at number seven, the Jets could take Cam Ward there. And like I said, it's all depending on what happens with free agency, right? If these teams above them, if the Giants, if the Titans, if maybe even the Cleveland Browns go and get quarterbacks out of the first round or out of free agency, then it's going to change how they affect things in the first round. And we will see Cam Ward. We will see Shador Sanders fall back. And that's not a knock. And I know there'll be the conversation of, well, what was found in the interviews? Well, what was said in the interviews? What happened with them at the combine that made them fall back? Nothing. Nothing. Just those teams ahead of them that we expected to pick them as their number one pick or their number three pick or whatever, those teams went free agent for that position. So they now have no need to go and get a guy like that, right? So they can go and fill out another need. They can go get a Travis Hunter for their secondary. They can go get an Abdul Carter for their defensive line. They can go and get an offensive line, you know, whatever else they may need because they went free agency for the quarterback position. So it's not necessarily a knock to Shador or Cam if they fall back to six or seven or even eight or nine. It's just going to depend on what these teams in the top 10 that need quarterbacks do in free agency, because there's a very deep market in free agency for quarterback. Really, honestly, and truthfully, offensive line, receiver, and quarterback, the market for free agency is pretty solid this year, right? I mean, quarterback alone, you look at it, you've got Justin Fields potentially going to be a free agent, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold. You've got potential of Kirk Cousins getting cut from the Falcons, and if they cut him and he decides to continue to play, then he's going to be a free agent out there. I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams flocking to him, but Aaron Rodgers, that's another name out there. There's a rumor, actually, and we're going to talk about it coming up next segment, Matthew Stafford could be on the trading block with the Rams. So there could be an offer that could get worked out, a deal that could get worked out to bring Matthew Stafford to one of these teams as their starting quarterback. It all is just going to depend on what happens through trades and what happens through free agency. That's really going to affect what we see inside the top 10 once we get to the NFL draft. It's the glass half full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to jump into the conversation, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Let's talk a little local sports now. Pensacola Ice Flyers, they had a tough weekend series. If you were at the hangar for any or all of those games, definitely could see that it was a tough series for sure against the Evansville Thunderbolts. Rod Eldoff coming back and taking over as interim head coach following Gary Graham's dismissal earlier last week. And you could see a difference in the team. You know, fundamentally, you know, they were doing some things, getting a little bit more traffic in front of the net. Defensively, they were, you know, kind of blocking and sliding and getting their body in between the puck and the net a little bit more. There was a couple of times, though, man, where it just the old problems of earlier this season still reared their head. On Friday night and last night, the Ice Flyers had a double goal lead heading into the third period. Friday night, they ended up losing 4-3. Last night, they ended up losing in overtime 3-2. Those old issues that have just kind of been sticking around for them all season long just reared their ugly head through this series against Evansville, which, by the way, Evansville is in the top five of the league. They're a really good team. The fact that the Ice Flyers were hanging in there with them and playing as good as they were, that's a testament to that's a testament to the potential of this team. And that's one thing I've said about this team, watching the Ice Flyers as closely as I have throughout the season. This team has the caliber to be a playoff team. I know there's a lot of fans right now that are upset about the way this weekend went. And they're probably, you know, saying some four-letter words I can't say on the radio at me right now for saying that. But it's true. This team has the potential to be a playoff team. But ultimately, they just kind of have, you know, can't get over that hump. They can play with the best of the best, right? They can keep it close against Peoria. They can keep it close against Evansville. They can play hard against Birmingham. They just got to find a way to turn those hard-fought games into wins. And if they can do that, look, the crazy thing is for the Ice Flyers, as you talk to some people, as doom and gloom as it may seem for the Ice Flyers, or, well, as doom and gloom as it may seem for some of the fans of the Ice Flyers, let me put it that way, they have 36 points. The team in the eighth seed, the final seed of the playoffs, Quad City with 38. They are 2 points away from that final spot in the playoffs. And they still have a whole month of hockey left. If Rod can continue to grow this team, and like I said, we saw the difference fundamentally in this team this past weekend. If you were watching this team play, there was a little bit of a different feel to them, a little bit of a different look. Like I said, they were getting more traffic in front of the nets. They were putting bodies between the puck and the goal. They were doing a good job of doing those little things that maybe they weren't doing earlier in the season. They were actually doing them over the course of the weekend. If they can find a way to turn these close games, these overtime games, if they can find a way to turn those into wins this last month of the season, it would not be surprising if the Ice Flyers don't end up in the seventh or eighth seed spot. Because like I said, right now you look at the team that's ahead of them, it's Macon. They have 37 points, 1 point ahead of the Ice Flyers. Quad City is that team that's in the final playoff spot at 8. They have 38. Then there is a little bit of a gap. Knoxville at number 7 has 44. So I think the best bet right now for the Ice Flyers, play hard for that 8th final spot and get into the postseason and kind of, you know, salvage what has been kind of a rough season. You know, things have not worked out. Usually the Ice Flyers, pretty solid team. It's not really been that case this year. But I think if you can kind of manage to turn a few more things around for this team and get a little bit of positive momentum heading into the month of March, you've got 5 games left at the hangar. You've got a handful of games left on the road. You've got plenty of games. What have they got? 10 to 12 games, something like that left? You've got plenty of time to get out there and gain ground and get those 2 points that you need and solidify that final spot. So, yeah, it was a rough weekend for the Ice Flyers at the hangar, but that playoff spot is not out of reach. It actually, I think, is closer coming out of the weekend than it was going into it, because I think it was like 3 or 4 points going into the weekend, but I think Quad City kind of had a little bit of a rough weekend as well. I think Macon kind of had a little bit of a rough weekend, and because of that, the Ice Flyers were able to kind of hang right there with them. And so, again, just 2 points from that 8th spot. And that's all they need to do. Get to that 8th spot and you're in the postseason. And if you're a sports fan, you know once you get to the postseason, it doesn't matter what seed you are. Craziness happens in the postseason. It always does, right? It's death, taxes, crazy things happening in the postseason. It doesn't matter what sport it is. We'll take our first time out. When we come back, more of the glass half full right after this.
Auburn fans. Time to talk War Eagles basketball. Be listening Thursdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for War Eagle Weekly, an exclusive one-hour talk show featuring the inside scoop on everything Auburn Tigers basketball, including upcoming matchups, post-game analysis, and the latest news highlights with show host Bill Clark. Auburn Basketball War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by host Bill Clark and Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, every Thursday from 10 to 11 a.m. only on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle!
Calling all sports aficionados in Pensacola.
Get ready for an unparalleled sports talk experience. Tune in to the Rich Eisen Show exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. Every weekday, 11 to 2 PM, Rich Eisen brings you the most compelling sports stories, captivating interviews, and thought-provoking discussions. With his extensive knowledge and charismatic style, Rich keeps you on the edge of your seat. Tune in to the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola and elevate your sports IQ.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.27 here on this Monday morning. Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full. I am Jordan Glass. If you want to be a part of today's show, 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Getting back into it with a little Matthew Stafford talk. Five potential trade options, because apparently this is something that's kind of started to gain ground a little bit more over the last couple of days, or really couple of weeks, last few days, is that Matthew Stafford could very well be on the trading block, right? Like, there's a very real possibility that Matthew Stafford could potentially leave L.A. through a trade from the Rams and go to one of these other teams that could potentially be looking for a new quarterback. It really is kind of one of those interesting things to kind of sit here and look at some of these teams on this list, and it clicks. It's like, yeah, they may actually be looking for a quarterback as well, because we don't think about the Minnesota Vikings, right? Because they're not really in that conversation up there at the top 10 of one of these terrible teams that needs the help at the quarterback position or anything like that. But really, if Sam Darnold goes and becomes a free agent, the Vikings, you know, yeah, they have J.J. McCarthy. I almost called him J.J. Redick. They have J.J. McCarthy. But again, he's coming off of an injury. They don't really know how good he's going to be. So it's one of those things to where they're wanting to really kind of maybe look a different direction, maybe bring in a veteran presence that can kind of help out J.J. as he comes back from the injury. Especially a guy who knows a thing or two about an injury. Matthew Stafford could definitely be that guy. But let's run through this list here. The fifth and the first team we're going to be talking about is the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, I know, look, the Colts still have Anthony Richardson, but we talked about Ant last week and just how the time that he's been with the Colts, there's always been an asterisk, right? Rookie season, season-ending injury, right? Goes out early, is out for the rest of the year. Second year, up and down, inconsistent play, the tapping out of the helmet coming out of the game on a crucial third down play, and that ultimately leads to him being benched for, what, 2 or 3 weeks? They go with Joe Flacco for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then they go back to Anthony Richardson just trying to kind of teach him that lesson of, hey, we don't do that in the NFL. That's not something we do. So there's always kind of been something with Anthony Richardson and his time there with the Indianapolis Colts. I still stand by the fact that you give Ant another year. You don't move on from him so quickly. I mean, again, a season-ending injury, inconsistent play, but he was on a bad team. I mean, it's not like he was on the Kansas City Chiefs and stunk it up, right? It's not like he had that caliber of players around him with that good of an offensive line. He was on a mediocre team at best. So I think honestly and truthfully, you can't really knock Ant. You can't put it all on him. I don't see them moving on from him unless it is for somebody like Matthew Stafford. So I think if they have a trade worked out in place where they're going to get the better side of that deal and they can be happy with it. I mean, Indianapolis owns the number 14 overall pick in the draft. That could be thrown in there, sweeten the pot all of a sudden if you're the Rams. You give up Matthew Stafford, yes, but you're getting two first-round picks, one of which in the top 15, right? So that would give them, you look at it for the L.A. Rams, they would have the number 14 pick, and then they would also follow that up by picking again at, I'm trying to scroll down through here to find the L.A. Rams. And actually, it looks like they do not have a first-round pick, so that's even more they pick at number 26. They pick at number 26, so there very well could be a situation to where, you know, the Rams could have another opportunity to have extra picks in the first round. Would it help you with the quarterback position? But again, I think in this situation, this is more so the Colts trying to do anything and everything they can to get a quarterback they trust in more than they do Anthony Richardson. So they could trade and work out this deal for Matthew Stafford. And while Matthew Stafford may not be your quarterback anymore, as we said last segment, the free agent market for quarterbacks is very deep. There's plenty of guys out there you could go kick the tires on. You could go bring Sam Darnold into L.A. You could go get a Justin Fields. You could go get Russell Wilson, whoever it may be. You could even go get Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, a California guy, right? Played his college ball at Cal. Could possibly go get him, bring him into L.A. Aaron Rodgers playing for an LA team is a pig in mud. He would be happy. Why? Because that's out there where he likes to go sit in those peyote huts and have his little hallucinations and all that stuff. You know, he is a guy that has a touch of Hollywood to him, right? He likes dating starlets and all that stuff. He dated Shailene Woodley. So, you know, I could very well see Aaron Rodgers in the LA market if the Rams trade off Matthew Stafford, freeload Matthew Stafford off onto somebody else, bring Aaron Rodgers in as your quarterback, and if you work out that deal with the Colts, here's why I think it's actually a win-win for the Colts or for the Rams. Yes, you get rid of Matthew Stafford, but if you can bring in Aaron Rodgers, you get rid of Matthew Stafford, but you bring in Aaron Rodgers, and you get two first-round picks. I'm just saying there is an opportunity there for the Rams to actually get some beneficial, and even if it's not Aaron Rodgers, because I know several people have called in here. We've John, Eric, a lot of people have called in here with, you know, voicing their negative concerns about Aaron Rodgers. And look, rightfully so. Dude is a diva. But where do divas belong? Hollywood. Send him to Hollywood. I'm telling you, he would fit right in there. Half of everybody, actually more than half of everybody in LA, is only caring about and focusing on themselves. So again, he's just going to blend right into the market. Send him to LA. Let him close out his career in LA. You know, is it necessarily the team he wants to go to? Well, he said last week that the team he wants to go to is a team that A, wants him, and that B, is a good team. LA's not a bad team. Are they a Super Bowl contender right now? No. But they're not a bad team. So, you know, LA works out this deal with Indianapolis. They send Matthew Stafford out there and bring in Aaron Rodgers. And that's going to be the look. That's going to be the same case with all of these trades. Any of these teams, they trade Matthew Stafford off there. It's going to create the opening for them to go get an Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson, somebody along those lines. So watch out for that. Our next team we're going to talk about, the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, yeah, Sam Darnold's going to a free agent market, right? He's going to explore those waters after the year he had with the Vikings. So the Vikings are going to be looking for a new quarterback, and Matthew Stafford could be that guy. Because, again, I really do think the Vikings would love a veteran quarterback who can kind of come in and guide J.J. McCarthy off of an injury and kind of help him grow in the NFL a little bit before turning the reins over to him. And who better than Matthew Stafford? Look at the injuries he dealt with in Detroit, right? The shoulder issue where literally, I mean, there's that video. It's NFL Films. You probably have seen it. He gets hit in the game. I can't remember who they were playing, but he gets hit in the game, dislocates his shoulder, throws the touchdown pass with his shoulder dislocated, then goes to the sideline, gets it popped back in. Dude is tough, and dude has dealt with injuries. Even going back to his time in Georgia, he's dealt with injuries. It's not anything new for him. He's a guy that can come in and kind of can help guide J.J. McCarthy through his rehab, get him back to a healthy point, and then also can guide him through his early couple of seasons in the NFL. I definitely could see the Minnesota Vikings trading for Matthew Stafford, for real. I know, again, J.J. McCarthy is still on the team, but he's still working back from that injury. You're going to need a veteran guy that can help him be in the right mindset to come back from that injury. But you're also going to need a veteran guy that can step in and lead this team. Matthew Stafford is definitely that. He checks all the boxes for the Minnesota Vikings. The Las Vegas Raiders, the Raiders just want a competent quarterback, right? They don't care who it is. They just want a competent quarterback, especially after last season. They will take just about anybody, okay? They're missing Derek Carr. And when you're a team in the NFL and you miss Derek Carr as your quarterback, that is that's a loud, loud statement to just how bad your quarterback room has been over the last season or two. And it's been bad in Vegas. So they'll take a competent quarterback, and Matthew Stafford is more than a competent quarterback. He's a pretty good quarterback. Good leader of the team, solid arm strength, good accuracy, cerebral knowledge of getting guys in and out of the right and wrong plays. So I think if Vegas was to work out a trade for him, you know, I definitely could see it paying off. Plus, you put Matthew Stafford in with Pete Carroll. We've seen Pete Carroll take Russell Wilson, who was a mid-tier pick out of Wisconsin. We've seen him take Geno and turn him into something special as well in Seattle. So give him a guy like Matthew Stafford. Who knows? It could completely be the move that the Raiders need to move in the positive direction. Another team here on this list, the New York Giants. Yes, this is a situation where if I am Joe Schoen and if I am Brian Daboll, my job is on the line this year. Right? There is no next year for me. I have to have success. I have to win now. I need a guy in here that is going to win now. I don't see them going after Aaron Rodgers. I really don't. I think the Giants are out of the Aaron Rodgers market. I think Russell Wilson, if they're going free agency, Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold is going to be their moves if they go after a quarterback there. Matthew Stafford is that next step in a trade. Trading to bring in Matthew Stafford, they've got the number 3 overall pick, but they also hold the number 34 overall pick. That is two very good picks that can bring a lot of leverage in a trade, and they could still keep the number 3 overall pick and use that number 34 pick, right? Because that's the second pick in the second round. That's still going to allot you a very, very good player coming out of college. So I think if they were to offer up to the Rams, say, hey, we've got this number 34 pick, the second pick overall in the second round. We can offer you this plus this in exchange for Matthew Stafford because we need the quarterback. I think that's, depending on what else they're willing to offer with that 34th overall pick, I think that's a deal that can be made that allows them to be able to bring in Matthew Stafford to New York, and that could be the right move for them. I think they need to stop going the route of drafting rookie quarterbacks, and that's why I don't really think we'll see the Giants go quarterback in the draft. I will be very shocked if the Giants go quarterback in the draft. I definitely see them. If the Browns do not take Travis Hunter at 2, he's going at number 3 to the Giants. You can bet on that for sure. Remember, Deion Sanders has come out and spoken negatively about the Jets, not the Giants. And he's not going to let Shador go to the Jets, and I guarantee he probably would not let Travis Hunter go to the Jets either. He'd step in on that one too because he sees Travis Hunter as a third son, right? He sees him as another son that he had on that Colorado team. The Giants trying to get Travis Hunter at 3. I see that as a win for them. But they're going to have to address the quarterback either in free agency or through a trade in order to free themselves up to do that. So offer up that number 34 pick. Offer up some more, you know, quality value in that trade to the LA Rams and see if you can't bring in Matthew Stafford. This is the one I don't like. And this is the final one we're going to talk about real quick before we head to break. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't like them going after Matthew Stafford. It's not a knock on Matthew Stafford or the Steelers. I just don't know if that's a good fit. You know, I don't know if that is necessarily the best fit. I feel like Matthew Stafford in Minnesota, Matthew Stafford in Las Vegas, I feel like that might be better fits than Matthew Stafford in Pittsburgh. Don't get me wrong. Najee Harris in the backfield, quality offensive line. You bring in a wide receiver number 2 to go with Pickens. Let's say they do bring in T. Higgins, and you have T. Higgins and George Pickens with Matthew Stafford. You're going to win ball games. You're going to score a lot of points. I feel honestly and truthfully, something about Pittsburgh makes me think Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why. I just see Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers, just something there. I don't know why I can't get past it, but there is something there between those two. I just think Pittsburgh is more interested in Aaron Rodgers. I think the minute that they knew the Jets were going to cut him and that they were releasing him and parting ways, I think that is the moment where the Steelers kind of decided that they were not necessarily all in on Aaron Rodgers, because there could be an opportunity for them to go get a Matthew Stafford. There could be an opportunity for them to retain Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. There could be an opportunity for him with Sam Darnold. But I just feel like they have their eye on Aaron, right? It's like when you see a cute girl in the bar, when you're out with your friends, you see a cute girl. There's all other cute girls all throughout the facility, right? But that's just that one. Something about her, right? I feel like that's the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. They feel like that's their guy that can help them get back to a Super Bowl. May not have him long, but they feel like that is the guy. So we'll see what happens. We'll take a timeout when we come back. More of the Glass Half Full coming up right after this.
Here are the ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other contest prize. Prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning and must be 18 years of age or older to win. For a complete list of rules, visit ESPNPensacola.com.
Unsportsmanlike. 5-9, right before the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
.46 here on this Monday morning. Welcome back, Anna, to the Glass Half Full. A little bit more football to talk. We're going to talk a little NHL as well. And, of course, we'll wrap up the show in a few minutes with your headline roundups, where we will look at all the top headlines from around the world of sports. But do want to remind you that coming up tonight, we got a little Florida State Seminole basketball action for you. They're going to be welcoming in the Tar Heels of North Carolina to Tallahassee. It's going to be a fun game tonight. You can tune into that. Coverage starts at 6 o'clock. North Carolina taking on FSU, one of those last little regular season games before we get into tournament play. And, of course, speaking of tournament play, we'll have the Sun Belt Conference Tournament starting next Tuesday right here in our backyard at the Pensacola Bay Center. And we will have wall-to-wall coverage of the SBC tournament for you right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM and 99.1 FM. Let's get back into it now. Shedeur Sanders has came out over the weekend and said, I'm really going to focus more with the Combine on talking to teams, allowing them a chance to get to know me, working on the interviews with the teams, and just really kind of spending time with the GMs and the owners and letting them see who I am as a person. They can see who I am as a player when they turn on the tape. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to hear me say that and they're going to go, what? No, I'm all for it. I think he has put enough evidence on film to show that he is a very good quarterback, and he is one of the two best quarterbacks in this NFL draft. It's him and Cam Ward. They are the top two quarterbacks in the NFL draft, and he has shown that plenty on film. The plays he made at Colorado, the stuff he has that he can turn in on our tape is enough to show, hey, I'm the guy. Not to mention, he's posting videos of him throwing now. And we live in a very social media type age, right? Where you can post a video of you on social media and you can tag every single scouting agent for every 32 team organization in the NFL, right? You can tag every scouting organization for all 32 teams on that post and they can sit there and they can watch it. He can get out and he can throw at any field and people can come and watch it. He can throw at the Colorado Pro Day here in a few weeks to a month or so and people can come and watch it. He doesn't need to get out there at the Combine and throw again. He doesn't need to run the 40 again. If he already does it at the Colorado Pro Day, if he already does it, you know, in some other type of workout and the scouts can see it, then he doesn't need to get back out there and do it again. He just doesn't. So I don't have a problem with him saying, you know what? I'm just going to let them focus on getting to know me as a player. They can turn the tape on to see me as an athlete, but if they want to get to know me as a person, then they can sit down and have conversations with me at the Combine. And I like it for another reason, because when you develop a relationship with somebody, it's going to be a little harder for you to look a different direction, right? That's kind of, you know, it's smart on Shedeur Sanders. endear yourself to these scouts, endear yourself to these GMs and these owners to where they absolutely love you and they want you to be the franchise quarterback moving forward. Heck, if you're single, here's my daughter. She's single too. She's around your age. You want to take her out on a date? You guys go enjoy Indianapolis. Just be back at my bed check for your combine hotel. That's the type of relationship you want that GM to have. You want to know why Jerry Jones has not even entertained the idea of trading away Dak Prescott? Because he likes Dak Prescott. He's close with Dak Prescott. He has a personal relationship with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott was his guy coming out of Mississippi State. He met Dak Prescott at the combine, knew that was his guy moving forward, drafted him, brought him in, and he has not entertained a single shred of a trade for Dak Prescott. And that's what Shedeur Sanders is trying to do. He's trying to endear himself to a team and their GM and their owner so that no matter what happens, those guys are going to be locked in on him. That's their guy. Because like he said, film don't lie. What he's put on tape, it's going to show. You can see he's one of the top two quarterbacks anytime you turn on any of his film. Dropping dimes into the bucket all Saturday afternoon long for the Colorado Buffaloes. It's on display in the film. You want to see that? Watch the film. You want to get to know him as a person? Go sit and talk to him and have an interview. Also, it allows him to see which teams are seriously interested in him. Because a team that comes in and sits with you 20, 30 minutes and is out the door, they're not really interested in you. If the Tennessee Titans walk into that room with that number one overall pick and they meet with him for 30 to 40 minutes and then they leave, they're not interested in him. It's the teams that sit in there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you're joking and you're cutting up. Right? Here I am bringing it back to relationship type stuff. It's like when you go on a date, right? You go on a date and you're not feeling it and you can tell they're not feeling it, right? Date tends to kind of wrap up pretty quick, right? That's the way this is going to work for Shedeur. He's going to go in. If he's not feeling a team, they're not feeling him. That's going to wrap up pretty quickly. But if you're laughing, if you're cutting up, if you're having fun, then it's going to blow by in no time. I went on a date with a girl once. We went to a restaurant and we were sitting there having fun so much, enjoying each other's company, that the waiter had to come over and let us know that we needed to pay our bill because the restaurant was getting ready to close. We had sat there for 2.5 hours just talking to each other. We were done eating. We had ordered dessert, but we were enjoying each other's company so much that that amount of time went by. And it's going to be like that with Shedeur. He's going to get a gauge of which team is serious about bringing him in, but also it's going to give him an opportunity to endear himself to that GM or to that owner of whatever team it is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, not only does he have his dad's athletic ability, he's got his dad's charisma, or as the kids say now, he's got his dad's riz. I felt weird saying it. Let's just move past it. My point is, he's going to be able to charm those guys. He's going to be able to point to the film and say, this is what you're going to get from me as a quarterback. Here's what you're going to get from me as a person. And like I said with Jerry Jones, if you can have an owner of a team lock on to you and say, that's my guy, even if they are at number 8 in the NFL draft, picking number 8, they'll trade up to get you because he doesn't want anybody else to have him. So we'll see what happens there. Real quick here before we head to break, NHL heading to New Orleans could very well happen. There was actually a meeting of the league in New York a couple of weeks ago, and potential expansion teams for the NHL was on the docket. New Orleans, one of those teams that's being discussed, and it's seriously being discussed. This is not kind of like a Orlando with Major League Baseball type deal where it was like talked about for a couple of months, then COVID happened, and it's just never gone back there. No, this is actually fairly serious. They already have Smoothie King Arena built where the Pelicans play. All they'd really have to do is add the ability to have an ice rink put in there. And, I think it would be really fun to have a team in New Orleans. Could you think of the possibility and the party that a hockey game in New Orleans would be? Like a guy playing a trumpet and a trombone on the Zamboni. They're throwing beads off the Zamboni. Dude, sign me up. if New Orleans gets a hockey team, sign me up. I want season tickets, for real. That's going to be a fun game to go to. Hopefully it'd be a good team to watch. We'll take our final timeout when we come back. More of the Glass Half Full, including your headline roundup, coming up next.
This is the sound of turning small bets into legendary wins. Only on the Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook app. The sound of parlays. The sound of paydays. The sound of watching the game will never be the same. Hard Rock Bet has already paid out millions and millions in parlays to people across Florida. Download Hard Rock Bet now, and if your first bet doesn't win, get up to $100 back as a bonus bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to play. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling? Please call 1-888-ADMITTED.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back here to the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. If you want to be a part of today's show, you definitely can do that. 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we've got Florida State basketball as North Carolina heads into Tallahassee to take on the Seminoles. Coverage of that will get started at 6 o'clock. Let's take a look at your headline roundup right now, where we look at some of the top headlines in the world of sports. Joel Embiid exploring some options for his knee, looking to get that taken care of, so we'll have to see what happens there with him. Alec Ovechkin nets 3 goals, now just 13 goals shy of an NHL record, so that is definitely something to keep an eye on here on the back half of the NHL season for Ovechkin. Quarterback Shedeur Sanders, like we were just talking about, does not appear like he is going to be working out at the Combine. Says he's going to let his film speak for himself. Just use his personality to impress the GMs and the owners. See if that pays off for him. I like it, personally. I think it's a good idea. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, Clinton and Friends coming up next. We'll have more of the Glass Half Full for you coming up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I'm Jordan Glass. Have a great Monday.